We're on Daf Chaf Beis Amid Beis, and we can count down from the top, approximately 10 lines down. The first word is She'enon, and we're up to Boy Minei. So Boy Minei, Rachava Me Rava. Now, let's keep in the back of our minds, as we go through this sugya, that we have a machlokes in our Mishnah here between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda about the case where the Rabbim will break through Bein HaPasim. And whereas Rabbi Yehuda requires Mesalkin Osan, that we have to move them away, give them an alternative roundabout route, the Chachamim are not impressed by that. They couldn't care less. Let the Rabbim go straight through the Mechitzos. In any event, here's the suffix. Tel ha-mislaket asora mitoch arba. So we're talking about an incline, and I think we've discussed this in the past, and if it's a very sharp incline that reaches a height of 10 tfachim on a tail, a mound that has the width of 4 tfachim. So if you have 10 tfachim in height and 4 tfachim in width, you're talking about a Rishus HaYochid. And now this incline rises very sharply. I mean, it's almost like a 90 degree angle. I don't mean that literally, but it means within a very small distance, a short distance, you could already reach 10 tfachim high. What is that short distance? That's Arba Amos. So if you can imagine, like, again, from here to this wall over here is 4 Amos. And within that short period of time, I go from 0 all the way up to 10. So again, we're talking about like a, almost like a mountain, obviously a mini mountain, but it really shoots up from the ground. And the story is, with regard to this tel ha-mislaket asora mitoch arba, it rises up 10 tfachim within 4 amos. It has the status of a rishus hayochid. What's the case in the suffix here of Rachava, a chacham by the name of Rachava? What happens if Rabbim Bokimbo, the masses of people, actually, although it's not so common, it's not so comfortable, I would say, but nevertheless, they, you know, they're on their way to Rishus through the Rishus of Rabbim. They don't want to be bothered, you know, so instead of going around, they actually go through this, the bottom of this tail, you know, they'll jump over it or whatever, they'll go through. So that's called Rabbim Bokimbo. And the suffix is the following: Chayovim Olav Mishum Rishus Rabbim O Ein Chayovim Olav. So it means the following. On the one hand, we're going to vacillate. On the one hand, this is part of the Rishus HaYochid, but on the other hand, it's part of the Rishus HaRabim. Like, you could look at it from two personalities. It's part of Rishus HaYochid because it's a tail on the slaket, and the tail itself on top of the mound is wide enough and tall enough to be a Rishus HaYochid. On the other hand, we normally would have understood that a tel ha-mislaket, the bottom part that goes up, is part of the Rishus HaYochid, because the Rishus HaRabim are going to, as they travel through this highway, wherever it is, they're going to go around. They're not going to step on top of this tel ha-mislaket, you know, that part that's mislaket that goes up. And in our situation, this public is not inhibited by the tail on the slaket, and they actually are bokimbo. They go on, they walk in that direction. You know, we had a discussion once. I don't know if you were with me. It was in Masechta Shabbos about a little pool of water in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, and some people would go around the pool, and others would go into the pool, and some would jump over the pool, and we questioned whether or not that's part of Rishus HaRabim or not. Now, the obvious nafkemina is big time, because what happens if a person is carrying something, so he's walking in Rishus HaRabim, and then he gets to this tail of Mislakeh, you know, begins to, the incline slant up time, and he's carrying something, he's now bringing it into Rishus HaYochid, or do we say no? That since Rabim Bokimbo, the Rabim continue up and down the highway unaffected, uninhibited by this tail, therefore it's part of the Rishus HaRabim, and therefore there's no issue of carrying. And again, there's an issue of carrying four Amos in Rishus HaRabim. So let's take, I'll give you another Hechad Timsa. Let's say I'm on top of the mound, so therefore I'm in a Rishus HaYochid, and I throw something that lands on the bottom in the part of the tail that's going up, tail meaning this mound, right? Has it landed in a Rishus HaRabim? Do we say Rabim Bokimbo, and this, therefore it's considered part of the Rishus HaRabim? So he says, I'll leave it there upon a loti boilacha. Right, the Rabbanon in our Mishnah are unimpressed by what we call Hiluch Rabin. And in the case of Pasei Biros, they were unaffected by the fact that there's Hiluch Rabin between the Pasim. You have Rosh HaYochid, and let the Rabin, you know, break through the Rosh HaRabin on their Hiluch during their walk. It doesn't bother the Rabbanon. And since this tail amislaket has the status of Rishus HaYochid, because again, as we said, the incline is very sharp, therefore the Rabim going there doesn't undermine the status of Rishus HaYochid. Uma hasam denicha tashmishte. Imagine, it is a kalachomer, in the case of walking through the Pasei Biros, nothing is being ma'akiv, nothing is inhibiting their walking. You know, you have a couple of possum here in the corners, but, you know, the traffic moves freely, flows. And, nevertheless, Ami Rabbana, lo osu Rabbim vat le mechitza. Since we have mechitzos, and the possum are legal mechitzos, you cannot be mevatel mechitzos, even if the Rabbim are traveling, you know, through the highway without being affected and inhibited, kiuz, in any shape or form by the possum. And yet, even though it's very nicha tashmish, it's very comfortable for the rabbim, that doesn't undermine the status of Rishus HaYochid. Is hacha here? The lo nicha tashmish day. There was more of a logical, compelling reason to say that this is a bittel. You know, this is the end of Rishus HaYochid here. Because again, you know, although the rabbim are not going to climb on top of the mound as they walk, but they don't mind going on this incline, you know, and they'll actually step on it and they'll walk as if it would nothing happen. But again, it's lo nicha tashmishte. Obviously, they're going to have to put in a little extra effort, you know, to climb, you know, to surge past this tel amislaket. It's lo kolshken. How much more so that the hiluch rabim would not be mevatel mechitzos of Rishus HaYochid, the tel amislaket as mechitzos of Rishus HaYochid. But kiti boiluch, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. My suffix, says Rechava, is according to Rabbi Yehuda, because in the case of Pasei Biros, Rabbi Yehuda's underlying principle was Asi Rabim, Hiluch Rabim, Kovavat Lele Machitzis, therefore Mesalik Leminat Stodim, we had to push them away from the Bein HaPasim. Is my. What happens in this case of a mound, of a tail that goes up, and even though technically it's a Rishus HaYochid, but since it's part of the Rishus HaRabim, and the Rabim have Hiluch Rabim, that's going to be Mavatel Mechitzos. And if you don't have the Mechitzos here, that would make a generator Rishus HaYochid, then it becomes a Rishus HaRabim. Hasam hu denicha tashmishte. Right, you could say the following. Then in the case of Pasei Biros, that's where Rabbi Yehuda says that the Hiluch Rabim is Mevatel Mechitzos, because it's very noach, it's very comfortable for them to walk straight through. Right, as we said before, the pasim don't inhibit their walking. Aval hocha, here maybe Rabbi Yehuda would agree that since it's lo nicha tashmishte, right, it's not easy going, it's not so comfortable for them to go, you know, through this tail, you know, to walk on top of the tail as they travel, traverse through Rishus HaRabim. Lo asi rabim avata mechitzte. That's not really Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim has to be noach tashmishto. Like, for example, the Gemara says, as far as that pool of water that I mentioned to you, that's not going to be part of Rishus HaRabim, because when you go into this little pool, you get yourself muddy and dirty. That's not noach tashmishto. That can't be part of the Rishus HaRabim. O Dilma, or should we say lo shna? There's no difference between one Hiluch Rabim, which is more noach, like in the case of Ein HaPasim, and another Hiluch Rabim, which is more challenging and less comfortable. If this Hiluch Rabim, that's the bottom line, the Metzius is, in fact, the Rabim are going there, then that's going to be Mevatel Mechitzos. So again, what's the status of the ground level going up of a Tel HaMislakit? Is it Rishus HaYochid or Rishus HaRabim? According to the Chachamim, we have no doubt about it. According to the Chachamim, it's Rishus HaYochid. And the reason is because Hiluch Rabim would not in any way undermine the Mechitzos. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, holds that Hiluch Rabim, in the case of Pasi Biros, undermines the Mechitzos, and therefore it makes it into Rishus HaRabim. What would he say about this Tel HaMislakit situation, where it's not comfortable for the Rabim to go there, but in fact, Tachlis, as we say, they go there, they walk there. Amalei, so Rava responds to Rechava, Chayovin, meaning it has the status of a Rishus HaRabim, and we're going to take Rabbi Yehuda's principle and apply it straight across the board without exception. Hiluch Rabim is Mevatel Mechitzos. Lo mi boy. I don't, it goes without saying, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Hiluch Rabim, in the case of Noach Tashmishte, in the case of Pasi Biros, is Mevatel Mechitzos. But even in the case of Lo Noach Tashmishte, here in the case of Tel HaMislakit, nevertheless, if it's Hiluch Rabim, then he has the status of, it has the status of Rishus HaRabim. And again, as we said before, therefore, if somebody was up on top of the mound and he threw something down to the base, which is the tail of his locket, he'd be chayev. Or alternatively, if somebody is standing on that area on the base around this tail and he throws something that lands on the tail, he'll be chayev. And that's because Hiluch Rabim Mevatel Mechitzos, and it has the status of Rishus HaRabim. Now Rava adds, Vafilu Olim Lo Bechevel. Imagine if the tail, this mound, is so 90 degree, you know, vertical, it's so erect to such an extent that he'll need the aid of a rope in order to get by. Now, I'm not sure exactly. We'll have to just figure out the Google part of this, exactly how the rope helps him get across. Is even in that case, where he needs the aid of a rope to get across, it still fits into the category of Hiluch Rabim Mevatel Mechitzos. I'm sorry, this is not Rava speaking. What I meant to say is that after Rava answered the question to Rechava, Rechava came back and asked him, even in this case, in other words, how far are you willing to go within the context of Rabbi Yehuda's sheet of Hiluch Rabim Mevatel Mechitzos, even in a case where the Hiluch Rabim requires the aid of a rope, Amalei in. Rava says, even in that case, it's Hiluch Rabim Mevatel Mechitzos, period, end of quote, no exceptions, and it's a Rishus HaRab. Now Rechava presses Rava another step. Vafilu b'malos beis meron. So there's a place called Beis Meron, which is a very, very sharp incline. It's like 90 degrees. and it's a narrow area. Two people can't go by together. We'll see how the Gemara knows that. And he says, even in this case, you're going to call this Hiluch Rabim when, you know, they have to get by, one at a time. Amalei in. Even in that case, it is considered Hiluch Rabim and it's Mavatel Mechitzas and you'll be Chayev as a Rishus HaRab. So let me just summarize this Gemara. You have a mound that rises to a height of 10 tefachim within a distance of 4 amos. The public travel over it. And Rechava asks Rava, is one who carries on this mound liable for carrying a Rishus HaRabim? O Eino Chayovin Alav? And the slopes of the mound are also part of the Rishus HaYachid. According to the Rabbanon of our Mishnah, it's not a question at all. Because even in the case of our Mishnah, where it's very comfortable for the Rabbim, nevertheless they don't have the power to undermine the status of the Mechitzas. How much more so here in the case where use of the slope is not convenient, it's got a sharp incline, certainly the public traffic would not nullify the Mechitzas. But my question will be, what's the status of this incline according to Rabbi Yehuda? In the case of our Mishnah, with regard to Pasi Beros, the use of the highway going through the Pasim is very convenient. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, Asi Rabim Uvatel Mechitzas. But here, it's not a very comfortable way of going, is then Rabbi Yehuda would agree that the traffic does not undermine the status of the Mechitza. So, Dilma Loshna. And Rav said, Chayavim, even in this case, the traffic will undermine the status of the Mechitza. So now Rechava comes back, and he asks him, is this so, even if the slope is so steep that people must descend it by holding on to a rope? He says the rope served like a handle alongside the road for people to grasp as they ascend it. So he's saying that, forget about the word rope over here. The word rope here is a little bit confusing. Instead of rope, let's call it a handle. You know, it's like, if you know what I'm talking about, you know, the shower has a handle on it. You know, for older people especially, they shouldn't fall, they grab onto the handle. So here, they would put a handle somewhere on the side of this slope. Actually, when you go on Tiulim, I mean, Don, you'll support me on this, very often they have these kinds of handles when you're going up mount. Like in Darja, for example, I remember, you know, when they have the Maslul where you go, there are those handles. You know what I'm talking about? That'll, you know, you grab onto the handle to get to the next level. So that's what he's talking about. On this slope, they actually knock in handles. Okay, he calls them a rope. Maybe the rope goes through the handles and he grabs onto the rope. Whatever it might be, but it shows you to what extent it's uncomfortable to get by here through this, you know, as you're traveling through Rishus HaRabim, through this sloped area. It's so impossible to get by without grabbing onto something. And Rava says, yes, even in that case, the Asi Rabim Umevatel Mechitzos, according to Rav Yehuda. And even in the ascents of Beis Meron, which were very steep, and people had to pass in single file, and he doesn't add any footnote here. So I'm going to add my own footnote, and my two commentaries here disappointed me. Neither of them tell you how the Gemara knows that Beis Meron was single file. That's how narrow of an area it was. So this is actually a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara speaks about the Day of Judgment and how each person stands in front of the heavenly court on Rosh Hashanah for judgment. And the Gemara wants to demonstrate and illustrate that we go single file. You know, every person is going to get his time up in the heavenly courts and stand there alone. You know what I mean? So the Gemara calls it Kemalos Beis Moro, the same Beis Moro on here. Meaning that going up this mountain, it's so steep that only, and so narrow that only one person could pass at a time. Okay, that, I'm just pointing that out for your, or for my interest, whatever. So even in that case, the Rabbim are still going, albeit one by one, single file. So we have here Hevel and Beis Maron, or Meron, and in all these cases, Rava says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the status of that area is Eretz Yisrael status. And why? Because the Rabbim go by there. Eisvei, so Gemara objects to Rava, quoting a Mishnah Masechta Taras. Now, what's fascinating about the Mishnah in Taras is that it sets up a contrast, a comparison and a contrast between two areas of halacha. One is Rosh Hashanah, they're both relevant to Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, that distinction. One is relevant to Shabbos, and the other is relevant to what's called Safek Tumah. So just to get down the basic rules here, if let's say there's a dead body, we're not sure exactly whether it's here or it's there, whether you had contact with it or you're not, so you're in a Safek Tumah situation, and here the distinction is between a Rosh Hashanah Yochid and a Rosh Hashanah Rab. If in a private area, you don't know whether the corpse is here or there, let's say somebody has a backyard and they buried someone, they didn't get a chance yet to put up the Matseva, or let's say you don't know if you came in contact with the Kever and it's in a private area, then Halacha is Safek Tameh. If on the other hand it's in a public area, a thoroughfare, and you don't know whether you had contact with the dead, then Safek Tar. And this Mishnah in Masechta Taras that we're about to learn is going to raise the following question. Are the definitions of Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah Yochid as defined in Hilchas Tumah V'Tahara identical with those definitions, the parallel definitions in Hilchas Shabbos? Which means is whatever you call a Rosh Hashanah Yochid in Tumah V'Tahara is a Rosh Hashanah Yochid in Shabbos. Whatever you call a Rosh Hashanah Rab in Tumah V'Tahara in Safek Tumah is a Rosh Hashanah Rab for Shabbos. So what's the case that the Mishnah addresses? Chatzer Shaharabim Nichnasim La Bazu V'Yotzim Bazu. So you have a courtyard and people go in from one side and they come out from the other side. And therefore it's called Rabim Holchimbo. The masses of the people will go through this courtyard because the courtyard connects one part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabim to the other. And now, in this courtyard, he has a Safek Tumah. He doesn't know if he came in contact with the dead or not. So the Mishnah says that Rosh Hashanah Rabim, that since the Rabim go through this courtyard, it's got an entry here and an entry there on both sides for the Rabim. Therefore, it has the status of a Rosh Hashanah Rabim. And that's a great kula, leniency in the case of Safek for Tumah. But don't draw any conclusion, says the Mishnah, about Shabbos. Because Le'inyan Tumah, as far as Tumah is concerned, we're lenient, and we're going to say Safek Tar. But as far as Shabbos is concerned, it has the status of Rosh Hashanah Yochid L'Shabbos. Why? Because the Chatzer, although it has entranceways on both ends, but it is surrounded by four mechitzas. Right, there's no pirtz of ten amos, right? It's only a Pesach. So you've got a Pesach here and a Pesach there. The Rabbim will go through this chatzah as a shortcut, let's say, to the other part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but in Hilchas Shabbos, since it's surrounded by mechitzos, it has the status of Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Now, this Mishnah is addressing a scenario which is absolutely identical with our sugya, our discussion here. You've got something that's technically surrounded by mechitza, an area that's a rishus hayochid, but rabim holchim bo.
They don't need a lechi or a kapara here?
Let's think about that. You're asking, what are they doing to be misakein the mechitza? Let me deflect your question the easy way, Steve, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
The easy way out. We're dealing with doraisas now. The Mishnah is not entering into questions of Erevin, of how and when you're allowed to carry there, you're not allowed to carry there. The Mishnah wants to define the area as either Rishus HaYochid or Rishus HaRabim for Dinim Doraisa. For example, Sofik Tumah is a Doraisa Allah. And now we want to know if, let's say, you would carry an object for Amos inside this chatzah, would you be chayev for Dalet Amos Bishus HaRabim simply because Rabim Holchim Bo? And the paradox is that you have an area that's surrounded by mechitzos. The Torah recognizes that area as Rishus HaYochid. But what are we going to do with Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, for example? And that's the Shita that Rava was trying to interpret, that Hiluch Rabim Evatel Mechitzos. And since there's an opening on both ends to Rishus HaRabim, the Rabim are going through their free flow of traffic from one part of Rishus HaRabim to the other part of Rishus HaRabim, then we should apply Rabbi Yehuda's principle of Asi Rabim Umevatel Mechitzos. So on a Doraisa level, it should lose its, this Chatzah should lose its status as a Rishus HaYochid by virtue of the Mechitzos, and the Mechitzos are gone. And therefore becomes Rishus HaRabim. In fact, as far as Tumah V'Tahara is concerned, in a Safek Tumah in that Chotzer, we treat it as Rishus HaRabim, we make it and we call it Tar. Yet, the Mishnah says that it's an area that's surrounded by Mechitzos, and therefore it's Rishus HaYochid Linyan Shabbos. So you have two criteria. As far as Tumah V'Tahara is concerned, everything hinges on where the Rabbim go. If they have access to the area and they use the area to travel, then Safek Tumah Rishus HaRabim Sveiko Tar. But as far as Shabbos is concerned, we have a technicality here. You've got Mechitzos. Now let's go with the Rabbanan Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, now Mishnah, like in Pasi Bros. We said that Lo Asi Rabim Avatli Mechitzos. So the Mechitzos are so powerful that they withstand the Rabbim. Right? Like Rabbi Yochanan, you remember, was Mistoil Khan. From here, the Rabbanan, we have to learn how powerful the Mechitzos are. Man, they're imaginary Mechitzos. Nobody even pays attention to them. They continue their Rishus HaRabim just like anybody else would continue. And for that matter, if you have two houses, you remember on two sides of a Rishus HaRabim, and the Rabbim continue, it's still Rishus HaYochid. And that's all an issue of a Deoraisa. So if you go with the Rabbanan Shita, everything is fine and dandy here. I understand very well why the Mishnah classifies this as a Rishus HaYochid, because Lo Asi Rabim Mevatel Mechitzos. Mani. Now it's interesting. If you would ask me in the middle of the night who authored this Mishnah, I would have told you the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan say, Lo Asi Rabim Mevatel Mechitzos. The Gemara is not happy with that, because the Gemara understands that this Mishnah discovered America, so to speak. There's a big chiddush in this Mishnah. I wouldn't have known this halacha if not for the Mishnah. So, Ilema, if this Mishnah is authored by Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon, in the case of Pasi Baros, have already gone on record that Lo Asi Rabim Vatel Mechitzos, we don't have to be Masalik the Rabim to the side, is Hashta, meaning the Gemara is about to present a Kalvachomer, a logical deduction, which makes this Mishnah in Taurus completely superfluous. Uma hasam denicha tashmishte. Even though it's very comfortable, no one is putting up any barriers over here between the pasim, the traffic flows. And Amri Rabbanan lo asi Rabim vata mechitzos, nevertheless the mechitzos are still valid mechitzos. You don't even know where they are. You don't even pay any attention to them. You know, you're on your way, and you go through the mechitzos, through the pasim. It's hacha, here where you have a chatzer, you know, it's not exactly so nicha tashmishte. You know, I can see the machitzas left, right, and center. You know, I'm just, going through this courtyard because it's a shortcut to the other part of the Rishus HaRavim. Lo nicha tashmishte. And perhaps you can add that the openings into the chotzer are somewhat narrow, meaning it's not like an open area where you, you come with your agalot, they're wide wagons and so forth and so on. I mean, there's a certain limit to the opening into the chotzer. It's not called, they don't open up the chotzer. Is lo kolshkein, it goes without saying that according to Rabbanon, Hiluch Rabim is not mevatel mechitzos. No, so that would make me a happy camper. I would say for sure the Rabbanon are the author of this Mishnah. Name. The Gemara says, I'll read to you the one line beer here. He says, Lama, it's Hutzucha Mishnah Lashmienu Shenech Sheves Chatzizu Rishus HaYochid Le'inyan Shabbos. Why did the Mishnah feel compelled to tell me that this courtyard, which is surrounded by mechitzos, is Rishus HaYochid? Madav, if it's Rishus HaYochid in our Mishnah, when it's Noach Tashmishto, and the Rabbim are having a blast, traveling up the road through these pasim, then how much more so, where it's a little bit uncomfortable for them to have to squeeze through the entranceways of this chotzer to go through Rishus Rabbim, how much more so they're not Mevatel Mechitzos, and the Mechitzos are Chai V'Kayim, and they're valid, and therefore the area of this chotzer is certainly a Rishus HaYochid. Meaning, there was never a Havamina to think otherwise. And eventually what we're going to see is that the Gemara is going to come back to this point and answer it up by saying, well, what the Mishnah wants to do is tell you a Chiddush in Tum of Itara, and as the Reisha of this Mishnah is coming to discover America. Namely that despite the fact that in Hilchos Shabbos it's Rishus HaYochid, here we're going to consider it as far as Tum of Itara is concerned to Rishus HaRab. But the Gemara doesn't know that right now. I mean, I just spilled the beans. But what the Gemara thinks now is that every part of this Mishnah should be telling me something that I intuitively wouldn't have known. And if the speaker here in this Mishnah, the author, is the Chachamim have always already told me in this Mishnah in Erevin that lo asi rabim vatel machitzas even when it's noach tashmishto, and it still remains Rishus HaYochid this bein pas. How much more so, it goes without saying, in the case of a chotzer, which is lo nicha tashmisha relatively, that lo asi rabim vatel machitzas el olav, by process of elimination, the default is Rabbi Yehudi. Now we're talking according to Rabbi Yehuda, and we're going to have to make a distinction between pase bros and a chotzer. In the case of pase bros, where it's noach tashmishto, and the rabbim having a blast, the traffic flows through Bein HaPasim. Says Rabbi Yehuda, that's a Rishus HaRabbim. That's Mevatel Mechitzos. Forget about the Mechitzos. But you should know, that's the Mishnah in Taras, that in the case of a Chotzer, which is Lo Niach Tashmishte, and we have four beautiful walls, that surround this Chotzer with two entranceways on both ends, for sure, I'm sorry. Here I want to tell you a big chiddush that lo asi rabim vatel mechitzos, that it has the status of Rishus HaYochid. That's the gevaldige chiddush of this Mishnah. So I'll read to you this, this beer. And again, all this is going to upschlug Rava, because Rava said Rabbi Yehuda is an absolute rule, knows no exceptions, and the rabim are mevatel the mechitzos, and it's not a Rishus HaYochid. But the Gemara says, at this point, against Rava's interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda, Pasi Biros, Omar, here's where Rabbi Yehuda says, Hiluch Rav Mevatel Mechitzos. And this Mishnah in Taras is telling me that even though Pasi Biros, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Hiluch Rav Mevatel Mechitzos, that's because Hiluch Haya Benoach. Avol Bechotze Sharabim Ovrim Bov Haya Mokom, He Mokom Shalom Noach La Halech Sham. That's not a comfortable place. Is Moda Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda concedes Shein Hiluch Rav Vatel Mechitzos, and that's against Rava, because Rava took Rabbi Yehuda to the nth degree, and he said that even if it's not Noach Tashmishte, And he talked about a case where in order to get by, the rabbi have to hold on one by one, you know, with a handle. And yet, it's mevatel mechitza, because l'maisa, after everything is done, you have hiluch rabim, and here too, the rabim go through this chatzah to get out to the other side. So there's in this context, if we assume that this Mishnah reflects the Shita of Yehuda, we have a head-on collision between this Mishnah and Rava's interpretation of Yehuda. We've already proven that this Mishnah should be attributed to Rabbi Yehuda, and yet Rabbi Yehuda agrees that this case of Chatzer is still Rishus HaYochid. It retains its status, this despite the fact that it's Hiluch Rabim, and the answer is because it's Lo Noach for the Rabim to go through. And for the Gemara, Lo Rabbanan. Leolam Rabbanan. Let's go back to our original premise that this Mishnah reflects the Shita of the Chacham, and the Chacham hold that Lo Asi Rabim Umevatel Mechitzta. You ask me, I don't need that Chiddush. I know already that even in a case where it's Noach Tashmishte in the Ben HaPasim, the Rabbanan hold it still retains its status as Rishus HaYochid, and the Mechitzas are unaffected and unimpeded by the comfortable travel of the Rabbim. How much more so, it goes without saying, that in the case of Chatzah, which is Lo Noach Tashmishte, certainly the Chachamim would say that Lo Asi Rabbim Vata Mechitzah, and therefore I know by simple logical deduction that in the case of the Chatzah, it has the status of Rishus HaYochid. Why do I need the Mishnah? And the Gemara answers, Rishus HaRam L'tumah Itzterich Lei. The Mishnah wanted it to be Mechadish that even though we have Mechitzos in this Chatzah, and in Hilchah Shabbos, it has the status of Rishus HaYochid, nevertheless in Tumah V'Tara, it has the status of Rishus HaRam. And the reason for that is that in Tumah V'Tara, we simply count heads. You know, it's all a matter of, is this an area where the Rabbim go? Is it not an area? We don't have to get through abstract ideas of whether we be mevatel mechitzas or not mevatel mechitzas. So let's say, for example, you know, you had the Astrodome or something like that, you know, this gigantic area, which, even though it's surrounded by mechitzas, there's no question in anyone's mind that the status therein would be a Rishus HaRabim. Not as far as Shabbos is concerned. As far as Shabbos, I'm looking for mechitzas, and guess what? You know, the area is completely surrounded by mechitzas. It might be a karpov. That's a different issue. That's a drabana. But on a deraisa level, it's a Rishus HaYochid. As far as Shabbos, for sure, it's a Rishus HaYochid. But as far as Sofek Tumah is concerned, it's Rishus HaRabim because, you know, there are 50,000 fans in the stands. Toshma. Another question on Rava. And now we have another mission in Taros. And the Mishnah says, Mivos Hamafuloshos Biboros Besichinu Oros Rishus HaYochid L'Shabbos and Rishus HaRabim L'Tumah. Now, before we get into the details, this Mishnah is almost an exact parallel to the Mishnah that we learned earlier. Because, just like in the first Mishnah, in the case of the Chatzah, where the people travel from one entranceway to the other, we said it was Rishus HaRabim L'Tumah, but in Hilchah Shabbos, it's Rishus HaYochid because it has mechitzos. Here also, in these cases of Boros Sichin Ma'oros, we have a Rishus HaRabim L'Tumah and a Rishus HaYochid L'Shabbos. The only thing that slightly bothers me is why the change in sequence. Did you notice that? In the first Mishnah that we quoted, which is actually a little bit of a later Mishnah in Taurus, but there, he starts by telling you the status of this Chatzer with regard to Tumah V'Tara, which makes sense because the name of the Masecht is Masecht Taurus. And only afterwards, he contrasts it with Shabbos almost as a secondary point, you know, on the side, almost a tangential point. But here in this Mishnah, which I find a little surprising, is the Mishnah first addresses the question of what's the status of Boros Sichna Ma'oros as far as Shabbos is concerned, even though this Mishnah is also in Taras. And almost as a secondary tangent, he mentions, well, there's a contrast here, and even though in Shabbos it's called Rosh Hashanah Yochid, nevertheless in Hilchos Tumah V'Taharah it's called Rosh Hashanah. I don't know why the Mishnah uses this particular sequence. Alright, that's on the side. So what are these Boros Sichna Ma'oros, and what are the Mavos HaMefuloshos? Mavos Mefuloshos are how would you translate into English the word shvil? A pathway. Okay. So these are pathways. Now there's a girsa problem here, which the Gemara is going to immediately correct. It says biboros, as if to say the alleyway or the pathway is in the bar. That doesn't make sense. That's going to be liboro. So it's, we're going to have to change the gears a little bit. One letter we have to switch. And it means that these pathways lead to the wells. Then we have something called sichin. And then we have something called ma'oros. Now, what's common to all these three, and there are nuances of differences between them, is that they are all what we call chafiros. Chafiros means, you know, we're digging below the ground. So we may dig below the ground because there's water below the ground, and then we have a round shape. And perhaps the reason for the round shape, it makes it a little easier to draw water or to have many people simultaneously draw water. So the bar classic was round in shape. Then we have another kind of a subterranean dig, and that's something called sichin. And sichin are long and narrow. And then we have something called ma'oros. Ma'oros are caves that are square, and they have a roof over them. Like, you know better than me, if you go to the Beis HaKfaris in Tzfat, the old cemetery, they have certain caves where you walk in, and it's like a whole square area on the ground. And sometimes they tell you who is buried there, even though there are no clear matzevus, but maybe the Arizal identified them, whatever the story is, that's a different question. So we have boros, which are round, we have sichin, which are long and narrow, and we have ma'oros, which are subterranean, which means they have a roof, and they are square. So we have round, rectangular, and square. So what's the status Mavos HaMefuloshos? So here we differentiate between Shabbos and Tumah V'Tahara. It's with regard to Shabbos, there are mechitzos. Now let's just see. I have a theory here. I just want to see before I don't want to put my foot in my mouth, but I have a theory here. Just one second. Where am I? So he's talking, he says here, about a public thoroughfare. But what I'm trying to figure out is, why is this a Rosh Hashanah Yochid? Not sure where the mechitzos are. So we're talking about passageways. Talking about passageways. What makes this a Rosh Hashanah Yochid? I don't chap where the mechitzas are. Do you see anybody who points out where these mechitzos are? I guess I have no choice but to assume that these are not just open-aired alleyways or pathways, but they're actually pathways in an urban area, and the houses on each side will erect mechitzos, and the alleyway cuts through the mechitzos, if you follow what I mean. Because otherwise...
Are there pits at both ends?
Let's just see. He says, Psuchos leboros vesichinum oros. I don't know. Maybe you know something I don't know. I'm assuming that it's just at one end. If you know otherwise, you know, let me know. That's what I think. But I'm just pointing out that this whole sugya would only make sense if there are mechitzos. Because, again, we're going to try to understand that when the traffic flows through these alleyways in order to get to the Boros Sichin Ma'oros, then Osi Rabim Uvatli Mechitzos. There must be mechitzos here. In fact, that's why the Mishnah says it's Rishus HaYochid, because the Mishnah is reflecting the Chachamim Shita, that Lo Osi Rabim Uvatli Mechitzos. So I think I'm pointing out the obvious. Again, I don't see anyone who spells this out, but ain't my nose. You know, there's no other way of going over here. We have to talk about mechitzos. Now, you can always ask, you know, how many mechitzos do you have? I don't know. Let's assume that we have three mechitzos. But le'inyan Tuma, it's a Rishus HaRabim, because as we said before, in the Astrodome model, the Rabim are there. I mean, that's a public well, and that's where the Rabim will continue their traffic up and down these Mavos in order to get access to the well. Now, exactly what happens with these Sichin Ma'oros, in other words, what are there wells inside the Sichin Ma'oros? I don't know. That we have to get to. So first of all, the Gemara, almost as a, on the side, corrects the girsa here. Biboro salka daitach. Can you read this Mishnah literally? How can you have an alleyway inside a bar? Bib bar, inside the bar. It's not saying an alleyway inside a well. Elo, but you have to switch around the word biboros and read it as liboros. So it means that the mavui leads you to a bar or to a siach or ma'ora. Okay. I'm still trying to figure out what brings the Rabbim here to get to the Sicha Uma'ora. That I don't have yet. Okay. So the Mishnah says that this Mavui is considered Shusha Yochel Shabbos, Shusha Rabbim L'Tuma. Mani. Again, we go through the same logic. Elam, if this is the Rabbanan Shitu, hold Ein Hiluch Rabbim Vata Mechitza, then Pshita my Kabash, you're not teaching me anything. Hashta Uma'asam, the most extreme application of the Rabbanan's rule is the case of Pasei Baros. De Nicha Tashmishte, it's perfectly convenient, and nevertheless, Amri Lo Asi Rabim Uvatale Mechitza. Is Hochlo Nicha Tashmishte. Now again, I'm not exactly sure why Lo Nachnir Tashmishte here. He writes, Kevin Shlo Nishar Bitsada Borgak Mokom Tsar. Oh, I see. So you have this alleyway which is surrounded by mechitzos. If you want to get by, there's this gigantic bar in the middle. So there's a small area on the right side and the left side, you know, to get by. So that's not Noach Tashmish Day. It's Lo Kol Shken. It goes without saying that we should apply the Rabbanan's principle of Ein Hiluch Rabbah V'at L'machitza. So why did the Mishnah have to tell me this? Same question that we saw before. El Allah, by process of elimination, our default position is Rabbi Yehudi. And again, we're going to see a distinction between Pasi Baros. That's where Rabbi Yehuda says that Asi Rabbi Mevatel Mechitzas, because they're having a blast, you know, it's very convenient. But here in this case, where they have to tiptoe around the bar on both sides, and it's Lo Nicha Tashmishte, even Rabbi Yehuda would concede that Ein HaRabbi Mevatel Mechitzas, and therefore remains a Rishus HaRabbi. So that's wonderful, and that would be a great shot in the Mishnah in Taras, except for one problem. That's against Rava, because Rava's position with regard to Rabbi Yehuda is even in a case of Lo Nicha Tashmishta, the Hiluch is not Noach. And Rava said this in the context of a Chevel, a place where you need a Chevel, or the Mala Moron, where they go by one. And even so, Rabbi Yehuda applied the principle of Asi Rabim Umavatli Mechitza. So how can the Mishnah say that the status of this Mavui in Shabbos terms is that of a Rishus HaYachid? That's against Rava's interpretation, assuming this Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara is going to give the same answer. Lowly, Olam, let's go back to Rabbanah. You asked me, why did the Mishnah feel compelled to tell me this Kiddush? The answer is, Rishus HaRabim L'Tumah Itzrich Le. The Mishnah really wants to just contrast Shabbos with Tumah, to teach us that in Tumah, although you have Mechitzos, and Shabbos think it would be Rishus HaYachid, but nevertheless, since the Rabim go there, that's enough to generate a status of Rishus HaRabim L'Tumah. Toshma will pick up next time. That's six lines down in the wide lines here on Chaf Beis, Amid Beis.